Well, let me give you the fun fact of the day. It turns out we love our national holidays. I'm not just talking about Thanksgiving and Christmas, Halloween, and all the sorts, but it turns out like every day almost is a national holiday of one sort or another. Today's national holiday is National French Toast Day. If you haven't had enough food already, you got more to eat. We've talked about having actually plenty for the past few weeks when Greg has given the last, I think, three sermons there. Really, as Americans, we are blessed. We know that. Just to kind of summarize up some of the last few weeks here, we can be thankful for the blessings all around you. We need to keep our mind on and be thankful for what really matters amidst our blessing-saturated world. In other words, don't be jealous when God blesses others. And then having more is not a firm base for happiness. We got two facts that I think we can all hold to today, is that God blesses abundantly. And we see that in Scripture time and time and time again. But the other thing that we also see in Scripture is that life is hard. It's not easy. Matthew 5:45, also in the Sermon on the Mount, says, "He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous." That was to say, one of the things that Jesus came to do was tell the people that thought they had it all together and say, hey, the blessings that you're having right now are not because you are without sin. And he also went to those who were struggling in life and said, hey, the hardships that you are feeling right now are not just because you have sinned in the past. Life is hard. Sometimes your plumbing goes out, and you have to deal with that for weeks and weeks. Sometimes your child has a project due the next morning, which means you as a parent have to help this child make a Walmart run 45 minutes out to get all the necessary materials to put that project together. Life is hard. Sometimes a family member passes away or gets really sick. Life is hard. The best example that I can think of for life being hard is probably just being born. Thank goodness we aren't really conscious for all that. We have not had a child yet. My mom was a nurse working in neonatal delivery. I've seen my fair amount of deliveries growing up as a child, probably knowing more about them, and it looks like a scene you would see from an alien movie. The babies come into this world not having made any choices in life, but still they come in kicking and screaming and crying and in pain. Life is hard. So the big question I want us to ask today is, why and how should we be thankful when it doesn't seem like there's anything to be thankful for? Why and how should we be thankful when it doesn't seem like there's anything to be thankful for? If you would, go ahead and turn with me. We've got several verses this morning, but we're going to start out in Philippians chapter 4. This is Paul writing to the church in Philippi. Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 13. Paul's kind of closing out his letter to the Philippians here. He says, "I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You're indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity to show it. Now that I am speaking of being in need, or not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to live abundantly. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." I think that's a great verse, and a lot of times that last verse there, verse 13, "I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength," can be overused at times. But when looking at context here, what it's really saying is that Paul can endure any situation, whether he is extremely hungry and doesn't have everything that he actually needs, or if he's living in abundance, he knows how to live accordingly to that. I think as Americans, we have all of our needs met for the most part. most of our needs are wants. And we've discussed that a little bit. But today I'm actually talking about the difficult times where we need God, the difficult times where we're kind of powerless to situations. Not all of our needs have to do with money or all of our physical property. Sometimes our needs has to do with relationships and relying on the actions, attitudes, and grace of others. I read the Beatitudes earlier, but let me just read for you guys the first line of each of that. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. And blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. And blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. Half of those Beatitudes, half of those blessings, have to do with situations in which people are facing hardship, persecution, being humble, mourning, being meek, hunger and thirsting for justice to be shown and righteousness. Those are all hardships. And yet, Jesus is saying, those people are blessed. We can be thankful in the midst of those situations, no matter what situation we're in. In fact, as we were singing in worship earlier, there was a line that we repeated a few times. As seasons change, your faithfulness remains. God's blessing, God's character does not change no matter what we're facing, no matter what hardships we are facing. And as Christians, we can actually view those curses that are hardships to us. We can view things that others would view as curses and consider them blessings. All right? And there are three different, I think, kind of hardships that we can look at that we can consider blessings that I want to touch on today. The first is temptation, the second is discipline, and the last one is wrongful suffering. And we're going to hit on temptation first. And in that, I'll just read to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Paul, writing to the church in Corinth, says, God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. We're going to face temptations in life. That's part of the hardships that we have. Some of those are just naturally occurring. Some of those may be tests from God. But whatever temptation we have, God will not tempt us beyond what we can bear, but will provide a way out. And one of the best examples I can think of in the Bible is probably Joseph. Joseph being the son of Jacob, or Israel, one of the forefathers of the whole nation of Israel before they were big. He was one of 12 sons, and he was promised great things by God. He was promised he was going to be better than all of his brothers. Brothers took issue with that and ended up selling him in slavery to Egypt. And while he's there, he ends up rising through the ranks, and he actually comes into service of the captain of the guard to Pharaoh. His name is Potiphar. So Joseph is in Potiphar's service, and Potiphar's wife takes a liking to Joseph. And by liking, I mean a liking to Joseph. And they get caught in a risky situation where Potiphar's wife comes on to Joseph. Joseph is loyal to God, and he's also loyal to Potiphar's commitment to his wife, and he gets out of there. He has a way out, and he takes it. Now, that doesn't mean that he got out of that situation without any harm. A lot of us know how that story ends. She grabs his cloak, uses it as proof, as a false accusation against him, saying that they actually did do something together they shouldn't have done, and he ends up going to jail. He also spends a lot of time there under hardship, probably questioning a lot, okay, God, what is going to happen? How are you going to make, how are you going to use me in your plan here? Because he probably just doesn't see it at the time. But whenever we are tempted, we can thank God for providing a way out of those tough situations. We can thank God out of a way of those tough situations. But here's the thing, even when we fail against temptations, we can still be thankful. Even when we fail against temptations, we can still be thankful. In Hebrews chapter 12, it's written, the Lord disciplines his children. He disciplines those whom he loves. And this is a repeat of Proverbs chapter 3, verse 12 as well. The Lord disciplines those he loves. So I want you to take a moment, think about your car and how many lights are on the dashboard right now. Hopefully, just the ones that should be there. But a lot of us have experienced a time where that check engine light comes on. Now, here's the temptation. It's a holiday season. There are plenty of lights everywhere. Why not just let that be another light in the background of all the other lights of the season, right? It's just a check engine light. It's nothing serious like the tire went out. You can still drive on it. It's still running fine. Here's the thing. That temptation, if you fall into the temptation of ignoring that problem, it could be something bad. And it could lead to much bigger problems. So instead of having to replace a boot coil or something small on your engine, you now have to replace the entire engine block because it's shot. And that costs way more money, way more time, and a lot more patience. So when you deal with that, because I'm just going to assume we're all probably going to deal with something like that, with a check engine light or something else, like temptation to lash out in anger, temptation to overeat, temptation to neglect something or somebody, temptation to indulge in something you know you shouldn't. Whenever we fall into that temptation and we have to deal with the consequences, the good part of that is that hopefully those consequences lead you to not make the same mistake again. And I say that fully knowing that I need to change the oil in both my car and my wife's car. I know it's not always easy to overcome temptations. But the more you deal with those consequences, the more you're disciplined in that, the less chance you are of continuing to hurt other people and or yourself. So thank goodness for God's discipline, or we never learn to stop hurting each other. The last one is suffering unjustly or suffering wrongfully. Doing the right thing just takes work too. I think that's fair to say, and sometimes we suffer wrongly for that. And I'll have you turn to 1 Peter here, chapter 3, verses 13 through 16. Now, who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of others, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience in you, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. Peter's writing this in the context of knowing the hope that we all have, the hope in Jesus Christ, the hope that Kevin Jacks talked about, the fact that the second tree that was dead brings life to all of us. And our time here on this earth, our time struggling with hardships, our time having to do good even when it's difficult, is just a blip compared to the rest of the eternity that we get to spend with God and the blessings that he has. So thank God that our time of suffering is just limited. And also, thank God that we have an opportunity to endure suffering for doing something good, because that is a witness to other people. Because it's all too easy to just let that go by the wayside and take justice and righteous vengeance into your own hands, instead of leaving it to God. Being able to show grace and mercy and kindness to others shows them how much Jesus means to us. And we get to be part of God's plan in letting others know that. So even when we suffer unjustly, we can be thankful. The last one here, Romans. I love the book of Romans. It's great for theology. Turn to Romans chapter 5 there, and if you have a highlighter with you or a pen or pencil and you like to make notes in your Bible, the passage that I'm about to read to you is a great one for encouragement. It's a great verse for encouragement. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we also have obtained access by faith into this grace into which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings. I'll read that again. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. In the midst of hardship, whatever it is, temptation, facing consequences, or just being disciplined and then suffering wrongfully, we can be thankful as Christians. Our change in attitude in the midst of those situations, honestly, it's helped me. When we were struggling with our plumbing stuff, it was difficult. It was nothing easy. I don't like having to rely on other people for working plumbing sewage. It's a nasty problem. And I can choose to focus on that. And I would be miserable. And there were times where I was. I didn't handle that perfectly every single time. There were times where I got upset. I got angry about the situation. But for the most part, I had to remind myself time and time again that this is only going to be a problem for a short while. And even if it is a bigger problem than what I thought it was going to be, everything was going to be okay. It's all relatively small compared to how big God is and compared to how big the reward is for us just following God and living in His love. There's a short story that I recorded myself saying that we're about to play here called The Seed in the Mud. And just for radio purposes, I'm also giving credit to bensound.com for some of the backtrack to that. I'll put that in the comments of the video later on Facebook for that purpose. We're going to watch that video, and hopefully it's something that you can remember just as an illustration that highlights kind of some of the points of the sermon this morning. So if we could we have someone dim the lights back there? We will cue up that slide and let it play.
The Seed in the Mud by Paul Berchtold. This story is available at thankyourstars.com and is used with the permission of the author. Once upon a time, there was a seed buried in the mud. It was in dark blackness. It was cold and wet. It shivered. It was just plain no fun. It was icky. It was dirty. It was muddy. It was mucky. It was stuck in the mud. How it got there is a little three-sentence story. One nice breezy fall day, it had fallen on the ground. Then it rained a little, and a deer came along and stepped on it and pushed it deep in the mud. Life just wasn't fair. It was all alone. If only it had fallen like the other seeds in the grass, or on the log over there, or at least had not been stepped on. But what the little seed did not see was the mouse that ate the seeds in the grass, and the bird that ate the seeds on the log, and the chipmunk that gathered the seeds on the ground to store and eat all winter long. It couldn't see this because it was stuck in the mud. It didn't know how lucky it was. Now, besides being squished tight in the mud, it was also locked in its shell. It tried to get out of its terrible predicament, but the fall days got shorter and shorter. It got colder and colder, too. It had no strength to get out of its shell. The mud was frozen solid, the deep snow covered it. It went through a terribly cold and dark winter. Finally, after what seemed like forever, slowly the days grew a little longer, a little warmer. The seed had work to do. It began to grow. The water in the mud had softened its shell. Still, how hard it was to get out of its shell. It had to exert energy like never before. It struggled and struggled. Finally, it broke free. Then it used more energy to go not up, but down, struggling to send a tiny little root through that compacted mud, that terribly icky place. It needed something to tightly hold on to because now it had to struggle yet again with great effort to send a tiny little shoot to the light above through all that icky mud. Finally, it was free. It reached the warm sunlight. You would think its troubles were over. Not so fast. In a whole year, it only grew a few inches. while the other plants grew by leaps and bounds as if to mock the little seed. Every fall, it lost its leaves. In winter, it barely survived, covered with snow. And as it got a little taller, it had to go through windstorms and blizzards. But one thing was peculiar. Even while it slowly grew up to the sunny blue sky, it never forgot its roots. It had the wisdom to keep growing its roots deeper and deeper in the mud. In fact, it used every windstorm, every blizzard, every shaking, every little vibration to wiggle its roots deeper and deeper into the black, icky mud. It knew the importance of a solid foundation because it always remembered where it came from, how it had been protected and helped by the mud. The years rolled on, and the seasons too. Each summer, it so slowly but surely grew. Each winter, it became a little tougher and stronger. It had little joys and little sorrows throughout its life, like all of us do. Then came the fiercest of all storms. The wind blew so violently this way and that. Trees all around were dashed to the ground, broken, uprooted, a jangled mess. After the devastation, the sun shone once again. To be sure, it didn't look so pretty. Some leaves were missing, in fact, quite a few, but that would soon be remedied. Because it hadn't forgotten its roots as a seed in the mud, it stood there in all its glory. It had become the mighty oak tree.
We're going to play the music. Keep it playing here. It's easy to come to church and pretend like we're doing great. Like, nothing is an issue. It's easy when somebody asks you how you're doing to let them off the hook because they don't really want to hear what I'm going through. Or at least that's what the voice in my head tells me. So here's an opportunity. We're an imperfect church and we don't get it all right, but gosh darn it, we want to when we can. Sometimes that hurts us. Sometimes that prevents us from telling each other that we're not perfect and we're going through imperfect situations. So the opportunity is this. If you're struggling in a tough time right now and you're sitting next to someone or near someone who's close to you, someone like a family member or a friend, someone that you can trust, just ask them, hey, what struggles are you going through right now? Hopefully they'll ask you the same thing. If you're asked, let them know and pray for each other's struggles. Take a moment to just talk a little bit about it. And hopefully that might spark some conversation for later on to talk more about it later. And if you don't have someone beside you right now to do that, take the time to just reflect on the struggles that you're going through right now and just give them over to God. Try to find out how you can be thankful in the midst of a struggle. What blessings is God giving you through this struggle? Music is going to continue playing, and you guys will do that, and at some point, Rana is going to continue worship up here. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Let's pray. Father, we're here with a people that is seeking you to love you and to be loved by you and to love your other children. We ask that you make the blessings that you have for them evident and just plainly known to them so that they can see it and give you glory and be thankful because, Lord, those blessings are there. Give us the strength and endurance to endure the hard times. And in the midst of that, see your glory, see your righteousness throughout it all, and to respond appropriately. Father, you are good, and we love you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.